Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Welcome to today's podcast. Today we're talking about pricing and the importance of getting that right. And I'm sure that probably seems really obvious to listeners, but actually there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. So I'm really pleased to have with me a lady who is the pricing queen, Sally Farrant. Hi, Sally. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Nice to be here.
And just a bit of background about Sally. She has her business, which is Business Growth by Numbers. And basically what she does is give people like you clarity around your numbers, which is not always easy to get to. And Sally's got a background in corporate businesses, and she just loves, well, on her website, it says she loves a spreadsheet and a messy balance sheet.
I do.
I can't think of anyone better to chat to about this stuff.
Yeah, I do. So I'm an accountant by background. And then more recently, in the last 12 months or so, I've niched into pricing and talk, because that's what small business owners basically always want to know about, is how they manage their pricing, because ultimately it's the biggest way you can make a difference to your income.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the thing that I find people, especially people new to freelancing or working for themselves in any way, it can be a massive stumbling block. And I've got kind of quite a few things that I think we would like to run through, time permitting. But I guess the first thing is about knowing the market and kind of knowing what competitors are doing. Would I be right about that? Or what's your, where should we start, do you think, Sally?
So I always think that competitive pricing is something you should definitely look at, particularly in maybe roles where it is very competitive. So I think things like, if you were looking at being like a bookkeeper or a virtual assistant and things like that, there are very much kind of, there are standard prices for that sort of thing. But I also think you should be really aware of not using competitive pricing as the only way of dealing with it, because if you copy somebody else, they're not doing the same as you. They might look like they're doing the same as you, but actually they've got different experience. They've got different background and all of that sort of thing. So when you're starting out, remember all the experience you have from a job. We often go, I'm new to this. I'm new to my business. But the reality is you might have been doing this for 20 years. I've got 25 years corporate experience. Well, that does actually fit, although I'm doing something slightly different now with small businesses, the same stuff still applies. So, and remember that actually when it's your own business, it's often about you and what you are offering. So being the most competitive or the cheapest is definitely not the way forward. So be really careful of trying to undercut, particularly if there is quite a clear benchmark in your industry. And don't be the cheapest just because you're new, because it's really hard to put up your prices with existing clients by a lot.
Okay. And I'm really glad you said that, because I was talking to someone probably about half an hour ago, actually, about pricing, and he's just set up a new business. And anyway, cut a long story short, he was talking to someone who was trying to sell him their services. And he turned around and said, but you're too cheap. And he had the perception that because they had priced themselves, you know, fairly low, that actually they were obviously, in his view, perhaps not providing the service to the level he was looking for. Does that kind of crop up? Is that the sort of thing you're thinking?
Yeah, it crops up a lot. I think that there's a, you know, it's a bit like giving things away for free. People don't value what's free. And if you're offering something at half the price of somebody else, actually quite often people look at it and go, well, if I can get that, like if I spend 500 quid, that's better value, because actually you must be more experienced. If I'm if you're charging 250, you obviously don't have the experience to be able to charge more. And often people work out what they think the value of the sort of thing they want is. And if you are too cheap, they're like, well, you don't have the experience, or it's going to be painful, or why are you so cheap? Because there's definitely a thing about the perceived value of whatever it is you're offering, and being cheap just to get more clients isn't always the best way.
Yeah, it's almost like the psychology of pricing, which might be something I've just made up, but it kind of makes you suspicious if something's too cheap, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of trying to get that sweet spot of the right price where people think they're getting the good value for money, but then it's not so cheap that they're like, well, I'm going to be hand-holding with this, or it's going to be a bit of a disaster. I think that's the thing. You know, you can get a virtual assistant for £10 an hour, but actually if I've got to do most of the work, then it's not worth it, kind of thing. Whereas if I pay 30, they'll take way more off my hands. You know, it's kind of some of that sort of thing.
I think people need to remember to take account of all of their costs, not just the time spent on doing a particular job. Am I making any sense? And can you help make sense of what I'm struggling with here?
Yeah, so I actually, one of my main freebies is a pricing calculator, which is where you work out, because you need to know how much you need to charge per client hour. So I don't recommend that you do charge a client by the hour, which we'll kind of come back to, because I think there's a thing about punishing efficiency and stuff like that as you get better at things.
Of course,
but actually knowing how much it costs you to run your business per hour is really important. And that is kind of all the client hours you want to do, all the admin time, all your business costs, and the one that everybody forgets, which is paying yourself. Because for most people, their small business, the costs are not very high. But actually what they're doing is trying to pay themselves. And actually, when you're looking at it, you're going, well, I'm paying myself 500 quid. It's like, but is that enough? And what do you need it to be to actually make it worthwhile? And if you do, we'll put the link to the calculator in the show notes. But
yes.
But the calculator, the most sensitive bit is how many hours you work and how many client hours you want to work. So be realistic about it. You know, you've got holidays, you can't work, even if you're working full time, you're not working on clients 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. It's just not possible. And remember why you went freelance. It may, you know, we were talking earlier, it might not have been totally a choice, but like I left my job because it was really stressful and set up my own business because I basically thought other jobs were going to probably go the same way because I had really small children at the time. And now I want to be able to have more of the school holidays off. Not all of them, because there's just ridiculous numbers of school holidays. But more time off. I want to be able to work shorter days when I want to. Mm. And obviously, given the last year, it's made a huge difference for me. But remember why you kind of decided not to get another job.
Yeah.
You know, if you were made redundant and stuff like that, look at what you really want your business to look like and your working life to look like. And that's the bit that really flexes in the working out, and then it gives you how much you need to charge as a minimum per hour for every client hour that you're billing.
Okay.
And it can be a bit shocking, I think.
Yeah.
Both ways. I think you can find that you're actually, it's fine, or you're really, really undercharging for what you need to cover. So that's looking at from the opposite end of competitor stuff, which is going, actually, I need to charge £50 an hour for every hour I work because that's how I'm going to make my money. Now, you don't tell the client that.
No. But I mean, I suppose some of it is being honest with yourself as well at the outset. So I think some people, when they start, they're kind of like, oh, I just want some work, any work. And no, not quite necessarily as desperate as I've just kind of portrayed people. But I think it's easy to fall into that. And I think, you know, if you're used to a salary at a certain level, and if that's what you need for your lifestyle, or that's what you want, then go for it and have that kind of aspiration. Stick it into the online calculator, see what you get, then at least you know what you're working towards. Because one of the things I do find frustrating about talking to businesses about their finances, and I don't advise them by any stretch, just general chat, people don't know. they seem to kind of think, oh gosh, it's finance, I don't want to look at it. And you know, do you come across that much?
Yes, a lot. And the unfortunate thing, if you like, is if you run your own business, you do need to know your numbers. It doesn't need to be complicated. If you are a sole trader, literally, you need to just go back through your bank account. And if you're a limited company, just go back through your bank account for the last month, 6 months, whatever it is, and look at what you're spending and start to keep some sort of track of the sorts of things you're spending money on. Check that you haven't got things that you don't need anymore. Are you paying for software you don't use? Are you, you know, what about your insurance? Is it at the right level? Are you paying that once a year? Could you pay it monthly? You know, if you pay things annually, sometimes it's cheaper, but often it's easier to manage if it's all in there monthly. And don't forget things like insurance that you pay yearly. But yeah, it is a real block for people to look at the money side of their business. And I think a lot of people think they can't do it But actually, most people can. It's not because they can't. They've just got like, oh, God, I was terrible at maths, or I hate numbers, or whatever it is. And I think it just doesn't have to be complicated. And some of it is that you have to, if you're going to run your own business, you've got to know those numbers. And if you don't, you need to go and find them out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of online banking apps and that sort of thing can be set up to kind of automatically categorize things, and you can have them talk to software if you have accounting software. But I don't even know if you really need accounting software when you start. I mean, this wasn't really anything I was going to get into, but do you have any thoughts around all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need it at the beginning. There's no reason why you can't send invoices in Word and do it all manually to start with. I do recommend eventually that you do have software. I use Xero, but Free Agent is good if you're a sole trader. And I know you've got an episode about that already. But I think that having software at the beginning is not necessary, but you do need to keep a record. The main thing I would say is have a separate bank account for all your business costs. Even if you're a sole trader and you strictly don't need a business bank account, have a separate account that you only put your business stuff through, because you can guarantee you'll get to the end of the tax year and you won't remember that cup of coffee you had with so-and-so or the train trip you made to London. You won't remember that that was, you put that on your personal account and you should have put it on your business, or vice versa. So try immediately to separate everything that's business versus personal, because you'll also be able to see then how much tax you need to pay and that sort of thing much more easily.
And it does sound like a slightly obvious point, but I'm astonished at the number of people that don't start off like that. But anyway, coming back to pricing, which is, it was me that digressed, not you, but coming back to pricing, I'm assuming that some types of businesses will have specific costs for particular projects. And, you know, I'm thinking mileage costs in the days when we're allowed to be back out, because you know, people might need to spend some time at the workplace of their client, although that does seem like a very strange concept to me as we're kind of here having been in lockdown more or less for a year. But you know, I guess it's, do you find people forget those types of specific project related costs, or you know, how does that work in your experience?
Yeah, so I often suggest that you package up and use things as a fixed price deal with people. But it is thinking about, you know, traveling, costs of traveling. Are you going to need meals? Are you going to have to stay overnight? You know, if there are certain distance, you know, you might say, well, it's a certain amount for this distance, but if you're more than this, I'm going to have to stay overnight. So there'll be an extra bit included. But put all of that into the package. Also, travel time. So again, like you say, you can't imagine it at the moment. But like, if you're traveling an hour each way to a client and you're doing it every week, that adds up a lot. But again, try and include that in a price that you're offering, particularly project-based work. Try and have a fixed price, and you would work that out basically by putting all the hours you want to spend, the cost that it costs you per hour to do it, and then any extra costs in there. And then that gives you the total of the package. Now, you might add a bit in, like 10, 15% as kind of, because when you're offering a fixed cost, obviously the client's not going to pay any more. So if it overruns, you know, that's on you. But part of that is experience. So part of that is going, right, I'm going to do it this time and I'm going to do it. And it also being really clear what you are doing. So be really clear when you're offering price for something, because actually, when you're offering an hourly rate or a daily rate, you're not really offering a price. You're saying, this is what I think it's going to take me 10 hours at 50 quid. So it's going to probably cost you 500 quid, but it could cost them 800 quid. And actually, they would like to know that it's going to cost them 800 quid. So if you quoted them 800 quid, they either say yes or no, but then that's it done.
Yes.
You're not negotiating on how many hours it takes, how much stuff, but you're also really clear that these are the things I'm doing and these are also the things I'm not doing. So if they come and say, could you just do this, you're like, well, I'm sorry, but that's out of scope at the moment. I can quote you for that, but at the moment that's not in it. And if you can't get a guide on how big the project is or what needs doing, you can say, well, we could start by doing this bit at a smaller budget, and then we could go on to next things, and it might give you enough information to be able to price the next bit along.
Yeah, because I think sometimes businesses might not know exactly what they're looking for. So I think that kind of approach of chunking it, if you like, is a really good idea. And I completely agree with you about being really clear at the outset what they are getting for that price. And it also will enable them to compare your price with whoever else they've got kind of pitching for that work. And I would say, just thinking about that off the top of my head, if you just put in a price with no explanation of what they get, then that's rife for misunderstandings, because they might then be comparing your quote with someone else's that's more detailed, and they might think, oh, well, this other person's doing all this stuff, and they might give the work to that. I realise we're kind of erring into pitching now.
Sorry, but I also think it is about talking about the transformation that you offer to the client, not what you're going to do. It's like, not I'm going to do 5 hours of this and 3 hours of that, and this is the process and all of that sort of thing. It's like, why would they spend 800 quid with you and not with someone else? And what is the result? And is it the result they want at the end? Mm. So it's kind of switching it around and going, well, actually, the client wants this result. The client wants more Instagram engagement. And if they spend 800 quid with me, they will get more Instagram engagement. You can't always quantify exactly what that will be, but that's what you're kind of sitting down and kind of working out with the client, is what do they actually want? What is the result they want? You can talk about, well, I'll, you know, we'll do this on an engagement and blah, 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 blah. But actually what you want to do is work out what they want out of it at the end, because then they're prepared to pay for it, because you can, not quite guarantee, but you can say that's the result we're aiming for. Yeah. And I know what the client wants.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's a really important point, actually, knowing what the client wants. So don't pitch blind, because it's probably a waste of your time and their time potentially, isn't it?
Yeah, spend have an hour in every, you know, an hour or 2 hours in every client package that you're going to do, which is, look, I'm going to find out before, you know, kind of include that as upfront cost, but you know, you should spend an hour with every client that's a decent size, saying, actually, what is it that, why do you want me, why now, why is it urgent that we do it now, why not wait 3 months, why not get, you know, Joe Bloggs to do it, almost trying to kind of say, well, why do we need this now, and why me, and what result are you actually looking for? Because you might be able to come up with a completely different solution. They might go, well, we need somebody to increase our Instagram. But it's like, well, but actually, if what they want is to increase their sales, actually increasing their Instagram might not be the best way to do that. It might be, well, actually, let's look at email marketing or growing your list and that sort of thing. So it's kind of looking at it from all aspects, and not just this is what the solution that they want, because actually the result they want might not be done by the solution that they are suggesting.
It's kind of like having that relationship building rather than just a transaction, I guess. So that's really helpful point. It can be hard though. And I think one of the things you touched on was in relation to, you know, experience and that sort of thing. And, you know, why should they pick you? And you know, when you were saying that, I was thinking, well, because, you know, they'll have X amount of experience and qualifications, etc. So I presume most people would have some sort of boilerplate text that goes out with their proposals that is all about why they should choose them. I'm sure this is really obvious stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's some of that, but it's also about, like, I can deliver the thing that you want. So if you can get to the bottom of what the client wants, I can deliver what you want is much more powerful than these are all testimonials I've got from previous jobs. Yeah. And if you don't have any from previous jobs, ask from clients, ask in your previous job, go back to people you've worked with, colleagues. You know, for a long time, I had things from ex-colleagues and that sort of thing on my website until I had proper testimonials for the services that I was offering. So don't undersell yourself because you're new.
Once they know their value, is it ever okay to kind of vary pricing? So offering discounts or, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, I know that when people start freelancing, often people want them to do work for free and in exchange for a testimonial or just because they're being rude sometimes, I think. But what are your kind of thoughts on that side of things?
So I think some clients just say, I want a discount for the sake of it. So part of it is, one of the things I say is, like, if you give a price for somebody, particularly if you're on a call or on Messenger or something like that, where it's a bit more instant, just don't say anything. If you can, if you're on messages and stuff, go make a cup of tea, go away from it for 10 minutes, because you're then not tempted to go, or if you can't afford it, there's a 25% discount or something like that. And
yeah,
you know, and when people say, I'm not going to buy from you, ask them why. It often isn't about price. You think it's because they're too expensive. It's often not about that. And if they then say it's about price, offer them something less. So like I said before, maybe you say, right, okay, well, if the budget's £1,000 and you don't, that's what I've quoted you, why don't we do this bit, which is half of that, and we could get started. What's the most urgent thing to get started with? Could we do this bit? And if you're offering kind of more one-to-one services, it might be like, well, instead of my one-to-one coaching, here's my group program, or here's my ebook, or here's my masterclass, which are considerably less money. And then you're trying to keep people with you as much as possible. But I think often what we think is, oh, it's really, really expensive. The client hasn't understood. If they think it's too expensive, the client hasn't understood the value that you're going to bring to their organisation.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, that you say it's often not about price, and actually getting that feedback. I mean, again, it's one of those things people feel awkward about. but absolutely, if you don't ask for that feedback, you'll never know.
Yeah, and you don't always get, I don't always get feedback from people. You get kind of like, people don't ever come back, and you're like, oh, I had all this call with people and they didn't come back. And it happens to all of us. And I think part of that is just letting that go. But ask every time for why people don't buy. Because I think, and I think sometimes people do say it was too expensive or it's not the right time. And also some of that is that it's not a priority for them. And you don't want to, if people aren't prepared to buy now, and you're not offering them something that's 10 grand, you know, you're offering something that's reasonably priced for the organization and the size and level that you're dealing with, then actually it might just not be a priority for them at the moment. They might come back in 6 months, try and stay in touch with them, keep in touch, all of that sort of thing. And actually it may be that they don't have the money. But also, you know, we all know somebody who spends 200 quid on a haircut, but says that 5 quid's the most that they can afford to pay for a bottle of wine. You know, it's just, that's about priorities. And, you know, some people will say, oh, well, you know, if you had, you know, you could afford it if you really wanted to. And the answer is, well, maybe yes, but actually you don't want to be forcing people to buy things from you. If they're not ready to buy, they're not ready to buy. And that's just that. And you should just kind of go, thank you very much, and I'll be in touch in a month, 3 months, 6 months. And you just never know. I've had all sorts of people who like were like, oh no. And then I'm like, well, actually the price has gone up since. They're like, fine, I'll buy that now. And you're like, really?
yeah. You obviously stayed in their mind somewhere. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's great. That's a fantastic success story. You know, in terms of pricing and things like that, is there, I mean, I'm assuming that if there's a rush job or like loads of weekend work or stuff like that that doesn't fit in with how you might want to do your work ordinarily, I presume people would charge a premium.
Yeah, and I think when things are a rush job, there's a queue jumping charge, you know, if you want it to be that, it's going to be 25%, 50% more for you to jump, because I've got other clients that I'd have to put off. Now, be careful, obviously, that you don't upset your existing clients.
Yeah.
But there's something called a pain in the ass tax, you know, and you put
like
evening work, weekend work. If part of the deal is that you're going to have to be like, so say you're something like a social media manager and they do want you to be engaging at the weekend, that carries a premium, you know.
Yeah.
And you get to choose what that looks like. If you don't want to work weekends, you don't get clients who want you to post, who want you to engage at the weekend. You could do the posts, obviously, you can schedule all of that. But so really think about what you're about. I think a lot of actually pricing stuff is about boundaries and what you are prepared or not prepared to accept. You know, if you don't want to work, I don't work evenings and weekends. I've got small children and actually I'm tired by then and there's some family time. So I don't do that. So I just don't offer that sort of service. But if it's a rush job, yes, it's more expensive, but be realistic about whether you can fit it in with your current schedule, yes. whether actually you're going to just upset your existing clients, and whether it's worth, you know, if you take on a client who wants it as a rush job, are they always going to be, particularly if they're an ongoing client, are they always going to be like that, rushing to the deadline? You know, and it's also then having things like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I haven't had the revisions back in time, and then they want everything really quickly. It's like, well, have in your contract how much before you need things returned, how many revisions are included. You know, if they don't come back to you within 3 working days before for revisions, if they've got a meeting at 5 o'clock, you can't do it that day.
No,
it's all of that sort of thing. Kind of, I mean, it all comes with experience of kind of it happening to you. But if you can avoid it from the start, actually, you get to choose. I mean, pricing is not a one and done thing. It totally is whatever you decide. And if a client is a pain, you just put the price up to a point where either they say it's too expensive, or they say fine, and you think it's worth doing because they're paying you so much more.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad you mentioned then about kind of terms, because I was going to ask you about terms and conditions and payment terms. And I mean, just putting myself in the shoes of someone who maybe has delivered a load of stuff, content for someone's website, for example, and it's all written, it's all there. And then they don't hear back. And so at what point do they then issue an invoice? And I guess within terms, some people, depending on the nature of the work they're doing, will have an assumed approval. So, I mean, what sort of things do you kind of find helpful to include in those terms?
So I think that if you're doing a fixed price, if you do your stuff at fixed price or packages and that sort of thing, then it's much easier to say, I'm going to invoice you up front. And what I want you to get into the habit of, with particularly with projects and stuff or with anything, is to invoice in advance. So if you're doing something monthly, invoice on the 1st for that month, not the 31st for the previous month. Yeah. So you invoice in advance. Now, if you're not comfortable with that or they won't accept that, then do 50% up front and 50% halfway through at the end. But I definitely say that you do. I often say I won't start work until you've paid me. So you might pay me half, and I've got 7-day terms, and you pay me half up front. You can pay by PayPal and Stripe and things like that, but you pay me up front, because I think that you've got to have some skin in the game a bit.
Yeah,
there's a bit of kind of going. You can do a lot of work, and also you can do a lot of work that the client ends up not being totally satisfied with, and then you can be wrangling over, actually, this isn't what I wanted, but you might have done exactly what they asked, but that might not be the result that they wanted. So I think particularly with things like, you know, websites and stuff, they can go, well, actually, I don't like that. And you're like, well, I've done all this work, and the fact that you don't like it doesn't mean I shouldn't get paid.
Yes, exactly.
So
exactly.
Trying to get paid up front particularly if you're on a fixed cost, because obviously if you're not on a daily or hourly rate, you know how much it's going to be, and you tell them that you'll bill half now and half in a month's time, depending on the length of the project. And again, if you've got long projects, so you're running a 6-month project, divide it into 6 and bill it every month. And what you're trying to do is make sure that you're not doing work without having been paid for it.
Yeah.
So work out the payment scheme based on, a bit like you would with a set of building works, you know, there's milestones. Yeah. If you can, in bigger projects, have milestones at which you're like, right, once that milestone is completed, I will be invoicing the next tranche, so that your cash flow is improved. You don't want to be invoicing 5 grand 6 months down the line.
No, exactly. And I really like what you're saying there, because, I mean, even my assumption was you invoice afterwards, but you're quite right. Why do it that way? That is commercial, not quite commercial suicide, I'm being dramatic, but commercially illogical. And we all hear of these nightmare stories where people have done loads of work and then their clients never pay, and they've essentially had it for free. And, you know, I guess part of that is being upfront at the outset, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of going, actually, you don't want to be chasing debts. You just don't want to be doing that. And you want to make sure that people have committed to something properly. You know, and often if you get 6 months down the line, you charge them 5 grand, they're like, oh, I've forgotten about that. I've forgotten you were doing that work. And then they're like, oh, we don't really have the money. And you're spending a lot of time quibbling over the work you've done. And like I say, if they're not totally satisfied with the work you've done, so there's going to be more revisions and stuff like that, you still want to be paid, because the fact that the client's not happy isn't, I mean, you can decide whether it is your fault or not, but often it's not, and it's part of, you know, it's like actually the client doesn't get what they want because they want more than they can possibly have. So it's, I really think it's thinking very much about actually, you know, why shouldn't you? There are some companies will say no, and bigger companies often will say no, and then make sure you know when their payment runs are. So if if a client has a payment run on a monthly basis, you need to know when you need to get your invoice in to ensure you are in on that once a month. Because if you could put it in at the end of the month, but they then won't pay you to the end of the next month, that's really long terms. So you want to make sure that you're getting it a week before the month end or whatever it, their terms are. Make sure you know what it is, find out. And by getting people to pay you a bit in advance, even if it's only a small amount, you can find out what their payment process is and how quickly they pay. So you can see early on if it's going to be a bit of a problem.
And this whole thing about kind of satisfaction with the work, I think is particularly difficult when they're bringing someone in to do an advisory type of look at the business. Or I don't know, it might be they want a project scoping. I can't even think of a sensible example. But then someone will go off and do all that work in good faith, give them their view, which they've paid for. They're paying for your expertise. But then the client might not like that view and then might try and challenge it. So it is it's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think when you're doing things like project scoping, you need to get paid for it. So you need to say, well, you'll need to pay. It might not be masses because, but if the big part of the, because it might be that, actually they don't want you to do the project. It might be that you could go and scope it, and then actually they're like, well, we could get Joe Bloggs over here to do it and you could oversee it, or actually now that you've given us the scope, we're happy to go off and do it. So I think it, you know, we're not prepared to pay your more expensive fees, and that's fine, but having like a project scoping charge in there and getting paid for that up front is definitely important, even if you just get paid for the kind of scoping bit, because there's a lot of work involved in those sorts of things, and it's really important that you aren't out of pocket, because again, like you say, they might not like the result. If they don't like the result, you know, you might recommend, I mean, if I go into clients, I might say, well, actually the best recommendation for you is to actually think about winding up your company. Well, they might decide that's not what they want to hear, and clients do it all the time. It's not what they want to hear, but that doesn't mean that your advice is not valuable. It just means that they're choosing not to follow it.
Yeah. Gosh, that's a horrible one for you. And
unfortunately, it doesn't happen very often, but and they usually know about it first. But those sorts of, you know, any of those, that's a dramatic example. But lots of things happen where actually you scope a project and it might be that you scope it and that's not what they were expecting you to say, which is why they're paying you for it. But if they don't want to accept your advice, that doesn't mean they shouldn't pay you for the advice that you've given.
Exactly. They've looked for an external view for whatever reason, and that comes at a price, doesn't it? So, and again, everything we're talking about is about being really, really clear at the outset. So I think that's a really fundamental point. And what about, just changing train of thought entirely, what about when people you know go, oh, go on, Sally, do us a deal, or just wondering, Sally, what do you think of the, you know, those kind of slightly awkward things when it is someone that you know who basically is looking for a freebie or a deal?
So some of it's deciding a little bit whether, so I feel like with mates rates, you kind of say either it's free and I'll do it, or they basically pay full rate or only a small discount because they're taking the space of another client.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful that you're not taking on a freebie or a heavily discounted rate, which is at the expense of your other clients. Does your friend understand what you do? And also you get people who kind of half know you who say, can I just have a coffee? Or can I just, and you're like, actually, no, you're trying to pick my brain. So I always think you should have a power hour for that, which is that you might have something that's kind of £99 where you say, actually, for an hour of my time, you can come and you can pick my brains. But you have to pay for that hour, and you do that, you know, you get, you do get that payment up front, and it puts some people off and some people are very happy to pay it. But actually it stops that conversation. And the kind of line on that is kind of going, if it's something you could generally answer in a couple of minutes, but if you've got to know anything about their business in order to answer the question, then they can't have it for free. because you've got to investigate their business or ask some questions or know a bit more about them in order to answer the question. So if somebody says to me, do you think, you know, you should package, you know, I should think about packaging my business. I'm like, yes, absolutely. The sort of business you've got sounds like it's a perfect idea. Oh, well, what do you think about these packages? No. You're going to have to, you know, if you want me to actually look at it now, you're going to have to actually pay for that time. So I think it's kind of looking at where the, you know, where it's general advice and also stuff that's like, if you've got a business and somebody wants to pick your brains because they want to set up a similar business, again, be careful of that. That's consultancy and they should pay for that.
Yeah. And time is money. And I know that's kind of a phrase that's been around for donkey's years, but it is. And you could spend all your time in these nice chats with people who are basically picking your brains for free. And at the end of the week, you got no profit. And that's time you could have been spending on other activities, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, it's things like doing this, you know, you come on podcasts and you do other things like that. And it's being, I think a lot of it is being mindful of what you're doing with your time, either track it or keep an eye on it. I mean, I use things like Toggle to keep an eye on my time kind of going, well, actually, I'll only do one free thing a week, or I'll do, you know, if you want to do things like pro bono work and things like that, then you can, but do it consciously. Say, right, well, I'll do it for this charity and I'll do this many hours a month of it. And you know, it's not to say that you can't do that, but do all of that stuff consciously, because otherwise what you find is you're doing it one day a week every week and you're like, actually I can't afford to do that. But I think that pricing is a lot about boundaries and about confidence. So a lot of pricing stuff is not really about the money. It's about the blocks we all have about this is the price.
Yeah.
And actually it's not about you if people say no. And it does feel like that because obviously you're selling, you know, you're selling your services, but it isn't personal and it's trying to just go, the price is just the price.
And deal if they don't,
and and kind of go, that's what it is. Because I think it's really tempting to go, well, they can't afford that. But be careful you're not putting your money story onto them and your pricing feelings that I wouldn't pay for that. Right. We'll try and get over that because actually you're trying to get a client to pay for that. And if you feel that you wouldn't pay for that, that will come across as well.
Okay. Well, I think I've probably covered everything I had on my list of things. Is there anything we have missed or any top tips to finish off with? As I say, I think we've covered loads.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main things are know how much it costs you to run your business an hour. Take a deep breath when you're dealing with pricing. Don't be pushed into a price that you're not happy with. Know what your bottom line is, because you'll resent a client if they pay too little. And price with confidence as much as you possibly can, even though it's hard. It's hard for everybody, even the most, what looks like the most confident people and the people that are charging loads for their services, they still find it difficult sometimes, because every time you go up to a next price, there's a limit.
Yeah, I love that. Price with confidence. I think I'm going to steal that for the episode title, if that's okay. And then just we will put it in the links, but I would recommend to people to have a look at your pricing calculator, because it does cover off pretty much all of those hidden costs that people have for running their business. So do check it out. And also we'll put links to your website, etc. So huge thank you very much for joining us. Oh, the other last thing, do you want to say something about your podcast, actually?
Yes, so I have a podcast that's just recently launched. It's called The Pricing Queen and talks all about pricing, why you shouldn't price by the hour, packaging, mindset. So the one next week is about mindset, and it's just called The Pricing Queen, and I'm at The Pricing Queen on Instagram as well. Is the easiest place to find me.
Perfect. Well, massive thank you for joining us today. I found that so, so helpful. And I'm certainly going to check out your podcast. So hopefully our listeners will too. So thanks so much, Sally.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.